Ron, Bob, and Mark are present with us on the phone, and then Mike Moyal and myself, Jim Harvey, are here representing the full quorum of the Powder Mountain Water Sewer Improvement District. Also, we have Roy Watts and Kerry Zinger from the district, and we have Chuck Palmer here, and then I'm sorry, ma'am.
Michelle Drago.
Michelle Drago, if you'll put that down. And then we also have Mark Miller here. So that's wonderful. Is there any public comment? Michelle, are you here representing a firm or?
Oh, she's just keeping notes for me.
Oh, okay, great. Very good. Okay, super. No public then. Michelle's here represent with Mark Miller's firm, so that's good news.
There's no charge, by the way. I told her I needed her here to help me keep notes of what my action items are.
Very good. Well, thank you. Those of you who looked at the packet that went out, we have a number of consent items that are listed there, including warrants 455 through and including 472 in the amount of $10,671.65. Any comments on those consent items? None being heard, then I'll entertain a motion for approval. That's probably got to come either from you, somebody on the phone, or Mike.
A motion for.
This is Ron Wilson. I move that we approve warrants 455 through 472 in the amount of $10,671.65.
Great.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Second by Bob Barrett. Thank you. Is there any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. That passes. Thank you very much. Just in the room, walk Don Guerra, those of you on the phone, so you know. Great. We now have our item number D, like Delta, the district accountant, Chuck Palmer, a report on our 2018 district financials. Mr. Palmer, go ahead, please.
All right, just an update where we're at right now. We're working on getting your financial statements balanced. We just got one account that we're having trouble with. You're using QuickBooks. It's called the undeposited funds. We've got your cash all balanced. We've got everything else balanced, but that one fund is just, one account is just out of balance. I think it might have something to do with when you went from the online QuickBooks to the desktop and then back. We think there might be some transactions that are doubled up or something. So we're just having a hard time getting that thing balanced.
Is there anything at this point, as of right this minute, that would cause you to think that there's any impropriety whatsoever gone in? Okay, great.
No.
Very good. So. Board members,
thank you.
Mr. Palmer, anything else?
No, I just want to make sure we're all on agreement, because I've read your minutes, because we're doing an agreed-upon procedure and not an audit. And I've read your minutes, and it sounds like you're thinking we're doing an audit, but we're doing an agreed-upon procedure required by the state auditor, because you're under $1 million in revenue. And that just requires us to look at some of the transactions, look at your minutes, look at upload the financial statements to the state auditor's office. We're not doing a full financial audit.
Okay.
And I want to make sure everybody's on board with that. If you want a full financial audit, I can have Ryan Child from Wood Richards do a financial audit, but it's going to be more money and be a happy enough firm to do it.
So you're stating that if we wanted an audit in addition to the services that you're contracted for, that would be additional money?
Yeah, because I'm just doing, because you're under $1 million in revenue, you have between 350 and a million, you're not required by the state to have an audit.
And that's the services that you're providing for us now. Trustees, are there any questions for Mr. Palmer regarding that?
Yeah.
As far as with regards to taking action on doing an audit, that's not listed on the agenda at this time, nor is he's just giving a report, so there's no action really required. Blake, if I'm off base here, I'd hope that you back me up. Blake Hamilton is here also, so that being said, is there any questions for Mr. Palmer?
Yes, how much, this is Ron Wilson, how much would a full audit cost?
My guess is it's probably going to be $6,000 to $7,000 for a full audit.
That's just an estimate?
That's just an estimate based on what I would charge for an audit. You'd have to get a bids, but I would suggest, Child Richards, like I said, we do a lot of work back and forth between them, like I said, devs. Anyway, my estimate.
Okay.
Trustees, I think, Bob, you were going to say something?
No, I have no questions for Mr. Palmer.
Great, thank you very much, then. If there's no other questions, trustees... Terrific. I'll move on our agenda to Eli Echo, a report from Mr. Hamilton, our attorney.
Thanks, Eli Echo. So my attorney report needs to be done in a closed session because we have a potential litigation regarding multiple things. So.
Great. Blake, will you just trade seats with Michelle so Michelle can sit by Mark? Or Don, you've just kind of upset the whole apple cart.
She's here with Mark.
We just want you at the table so you have something you can write on, Michelle.
Are you okay?
I know you are, but that's okay. We got extra seats. Yeah. We're good. All right. Is there any questions? So we'll go to closed session with Mr. Hamilton. Trustees, are there anything else under our attorney that needs to be brought up here before we address him in closed session later on the agenda? None being heard. Great. We have our district engineer, Mark Miller, here. Mr. Miller, we're on item F, like Foxtrot, item number 3, a discussion and or approval of the resolution 2019-6 source reduction plan. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and board. It's a pleasure to be here today. I'm starting, I have items 3 through 7. I'll probably stay here through item 11, the manager's report, because I suspect Roy's going to want some input on those as well.
Yes.
Is that?
Yep.
And then obviously we'll step out so you guys can do your other business. I'm glad you put item 3 first because that's our best item. we actually have a bound copy of your request for source water sizing reduction, peak day indoor demand. John from my office has been working with Cameron Harry from the state on this, and we actually have a report in hand that we feel very confident about because of the fact that he's been working closely with her. We feel comfortable with the approach that we've used. We're actually recommending a reduction down to 400 gallons per minute instead of 800. For the board members who are not familiar with this type of thing, this is something that is a dynamic document. I mean, if in the future we found that we were using more than that, we would simply submit a new one. So, but for right now, this is going to solve a lot of problems, I believe. And unless there's some unforeseen thing that the state comes up with that they haven't told us, this 400 gallons per minute reduction should be approved. It's been reviewed in-house by my office by another engineer, so we feel comfortable handing over this document to you at this time. And then with the board's direction, I can actually submit this to the state. I recommend first that Roy go through it, and if Roy is on board with this, then we'd like to get that submitted just as quickly as we can, and we have quite a bit of confidence that it should be approved.
Awesome.
Trustees, this is a very nice presentation that Mr. Miller has just handed to Roy Watts. It seems to be, just looking at it as Roy's thumbing through it, it seems to be very complete with data supporting the documents that are there, and what I'd like you to do, Ms. Singer, is if you'll scan this into a PDF after this meeting and email that to all of the trustees so we all have a copy, then you'll all enjoy the same thing that we're seeing here.
Sure.
Right now.
Just to add to that, we naturally worked closely with Laughlin on it as well, but John went ahead and did an independent report on it, and we feel very confident with it. We have all the charts and graphs and data in the file that we're providing.
Terrific. Thank you.
Do we need to formally approve this? And if so, I would certainly approve it without even looking at it necessarily.
Why? Why, you're a rather trusting individual, Trustee Barrett. Sorry.
Sorry, just a little limb on this one, Jim.
It's just one little jab over there. Just one with, you know, Puka. So, all right. Well, it is a resolution. So if it's a resolution on the reduction plan, holy smokes. Trustees, are there any more discussion about that?
No, this is Ron. I'll go with whatever Roy decides. If he approves it, then I'm for it.
Have you seen this before?
I looked at the draft of a lot of the document. It looked great. I've looked at the previous one that CRS was working on, and this is very comprehensive and does what we need. It's good.
Do you have confidence that the draft that you saw, seeing this one, that this is the correct way for the district to go?
Yes. I'd recommend that we pass a resolution on it and move. We need to do this.
Great. So that's that recommend. Is there any more discussion by the trustees on this? None being heard, I'll entertain a motion.
I move that we approve the resolution for the source reduction plan as presented by Mr. Miller and endorsed by Roy Watts.
Have a motion?
I'll second it. Ron.
And Ron will second it up. It's a resolution, so this is a roll call vote. Trustee Scotell?
Aye.
Trustee Moyal?
Aye.
Trustee Barrett?
Aye.
Trustee Wilson?
Aye.
And Chair votes aye. That resolution passes. Thank you. Very good. Go ahead, Mr. Miller. Item number four.
Next item is number four, Bobcat and Overlook subdivisions. I've been in the process of reviewing those subdivisions and have spent quite a bit of time with Ryan Caffey, the design engineer on those. He's come to my office. We've had several phone conversations. I've talked to the county as well about where it was in the approval process. Basically, the way your process is currently written is after preliminary approval is when you do the assessments. I want to clarify one thing. We've been getting a lot of pressure to get subdivisions submitted to the state. I brought with me today a copy of what the state requires. And I'm going to pass that out here in the board meeting. There's a distribution system, a construction plan checklist. Now, the state requires the design engineer, being Ryan Caffey in this case, to fill out. It's a checklist that they have. Ryan checks each of the items that they require on this checklist, and then he provides me with what's called, they have on here, a review engineer, and that would be me. So the design engineers for these subdivisions give this to us, again, after preliminary plan approval from the county, which is done. And so Ryan will run this through his model and then just check everything to make sure that it complies with the state standards. We will then submit it to the state for the applicant, meaning the district will submit it to the state for the applicant, and then the state will respond with the review. But the thing I can't emphasize enough is it's the design engineer's responsibility to fill out the form. In fact, the first column on this is the design engineer.
Hold on, Mr. Miller. Excuse me, trustees. Would you mind muting your phones, please? And then, unless we call for a vote, then unmute them. We're getting some feedback on the conference call, so if you could mute the presentations, we can hear them. I'd appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Miller.
I actually have a color copy, which is very nice, and then we ran out of ink, so the other copies aren't color. But if Carrie, if you have a color copier, then you could make copies of this. I brought copies for a couple of people in the room. I know Mr. Moyal will need one for an item later on the agenda. But this is the review process that they will need to go through. Any board member who has questions on this, and I really think you ought to each look at it online. If Carrie could email you a PDF of this. Don, obviously, I'll work with Ryan on this. I'll get him a copy of it, make sure he gets it filled out and submitted to me as quickly as possible. Ryan has made the corrections that I've requested on the plans. I believe that we can submit this to the state with a caveat. All of you know that we need two sources up there because we're already in violation of the state's source serving over 100 lots with only one source. So technically speaking, we can't formally approve something without the condition that they not be, I don't know where you do the occupancy or whatever you do, until the second source is up and running. Now in this case, it's the Bloomington Well House. And by way of just side comment, we had a really good meeting on that yesterday where hopefully we figured out some ways to save money on that. But once the Bloomington Well House is up and running and your source protection plan that we gave you today is approved, then those were the two hurdles that needed to be jumped in order for these subdivisions to get going. So I'm going to suggest that we go ahead and submit the information to the state in hopes that, or it might be premature, but I think we're not approving anything, but we're just keeping the ball rolling on these subdivisions by doing this. So to me, you have two issues right now. Number one, you need the source capacity reduction. Fortunately, we're ready to submit that tomorrow morning if Roy gives me the heads up. The second thing is we need the Bloomington Well up and running so that we have a second source. And again, just knowing that people are anxious and in a hurry to get these subdivisions approved and lots sold and everything else, just so long as people keep in mind that there's a condition of these approvals, and that is that those requirements are met. This is nothing new. Paul's been telling you this for over a year. I've read memos over a year ago, and it's stating that all of these subdivisions on the agenda today were notified that you have to have both those conditions met. Fortunately, today we're a lot closer than we were a year ago, and so I'm actually recommending that we go ahead and proceed, at least with the state engineer's review comments, just to get that process done and on a conditional basis that the two criteria are met. So again, I'm just going to repeat. The two criteria are the source reduction and the secondary source coming online, okay? I believe everybody in here understands that, and likely more than I do. Beans, I've been drinking from a fire hose for a couple of weeks. So that's where we are on Bobcat and Overlook. Ryan emailed me this morning. I'll email this to him tomorrow morning, and that way he knows where we are with it. And then as soon as Ryan, the design engineer, gets me the information he needs on both Bobcat and Overlook, we'll get it submitted to the state. We'll submit the source reduction as early as tomorrow. That's all right. I have on those two subdivisions.
That's fantastic. Very, very, very good. And trustees, questions, Mark, for Mr. Miller.
Yes, this is Ron Wilson. Mark, what does the source protection plan look like, and does it have to go in, or can it go in concurrently so we can get that approved while we're getting everything else approved?
The source protection plan can go in. I may have a comment or two on that. I have not reviewed it yet. It's only going to take me an hour or two. But Ron, that's a really good point, because before the state will issue an operating permit, they need the source protection plan approved. And so Roy and I both should review the source protection plan to make sure there are no encumbrances in that. For example, I've dealt with this where they came in, the state came in and said, hey, you guys need to go find that business that's manufacturing or spraying paint, and they have their paint thinner stored in 50-gallon barrels. You need to figure out a way, if there's a spill, that the spill goes into containers so that that doesn't go out onto the ground and ultimately get into the groundwater, that type of thing. There may be something with the ski lodge up there, I don't know, but barring any crazy thing like that in that source protection plan, and I think they would have given us the heads up had there been something like that. So my guess is I'm going to read it, it's going to look okay, and we'll be ready to submit the source protection or allow Laughlin, is it Laughlin? No, Bowen Collins did that, right?
Laughlin did.
Okay, allow Laughlin to go ahead and submit that to the state. But you're right, Ron, we do need to get that submitted, because the state engineer won't give you an operating permit for the well house until the source protection plan is approved.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, terrific. Trustees, any other questions? None being heard. Mr. Miller, I'll just tell you, that seems to be more complete and understood, at least by me, than a combination of multiple reports we've had in the last year. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item number G, we're going to move on our agenda. Item number G, Roy Watts. Now, keep in mind, trustees, Roy's just got off the mountain. Hold on.
Are we done with the engineer's report?
Oh, we got. I thought it was those two. I'm sorry. I got ahead. I'm sorry. Let's finish with five.
We're on number five.
Thank you. So thanks, Bob.
We are on item number five. We are not ready to approve the amended standards and specifications yet. We've made substantial progress on that, but as you can imagine, I've been busy full time with Roy on numerous other things. We are coming up with a really nice chart that everybody's, as a spreadsheet that everybody will be able to follow, much easier on the standards and specifications. We've made adjustments to your service saddles, your corpse stops, and the meters and the depth of bury. And we've made a few other changes like that, and we've tabulated them so they're easier to understand. But I'm afraid I don't have them ready for your approval at this point in time. We like I said, made substantial progress on them, and we've shown Roy essentially what we're doing, and we just aren't ready to change those yet. Now, having said that, I have, as a condition of my approval, stated that the new subdivisions coming forward will need to comply to those new standards. And again, just a couple of them, the bury depth, the saddles that we have on the for the lateral services, waterline services, a corpse stop, so that and for those of you who don't know, a corpse stop is a valve that you shut off right at the service saddle. The purpose for that is so that when Roy is or anyone else is working on the water meter or yoke or a frozen line, they don't have to isolate valves on main lines, which could cause them to freeze in the middle of the winter. Instead, you just turn the corpse stop that's right at the lateral. And most jurisdictions have these, by the way. I was shocked that we didn't. But we're able to isolate an individual service by just turning a valve right where it ties, right where the lateral ties into the main. A very common standard. Ryan was very familiar with them, and it's nothing that contractors aren't familiar with.
So, Mark, we'll have those ready for next meeting.
We'll have those ready for next meeting. had things not gone the way they did, we probably could have had them ready for today. But I thought the source reduction was the most important, and then mm-hmm. keeping these subdivisions rolling was another big thing.
Yep. Spell that stop. Corp?
Or corp. Like, it's a corporation stop. We call them corp stops.
I think for the safety of our people up there, that's just
the right way to do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Any other comments, trustees? Great. Then let's please let Mr. Miller continue.
On the Kobabe well, item number 6, as I look at the district's water sources, it appears that we do not have a water source at this point in time. We had the Pizzle Springs and we had the old Kobabe well, but we have not taken over the Timberlake or the Bloomington wells or pump houses. They're currently owned by Summit. Is that correct?
Now, Timberline's ours, but the Timberlake Lake is,
or Timberline.
Is Summit's.
Okay. So do we have a water source?
No, we don't.
Okay. We have no water source right now.
I mean, we're using, of course.
We're using someone else's water source, but we have no independent water source, meaning until the Kobabe well has been put into use, tied into the system, we won't be able to claim to the state that we have a water source yet. So the new well is super critical at this point in time because the district doesn't have water supply. We dug into the contract and found that out of like 30 items, they were through item 25. Kyle Whittison was subcontracted to Zim. I spoke with Bob Zimmerer last week along with Roy, and they hired Kyle Whittison to come in and do some of the well development work. That's very common. Other wells that I've had drilled by large companies contract with Kyle Whittison, who just specializes in well development. Different size pumps, different techniques, the swabbing and everything else is sort of a specialty. First thing we did with Bob Zimmer was ask him to produce for us some indication that they have an extension to their contract, because as I read the contract, they are obligated to have the well completed by last August, and obviously we've exceeded that, and you have liquidated damages in your contract. So I mentioned both of those item issues to Bob and asked him to produce for us an extension if they have one, because I'm not aware of any, but Paul may have given him one, and maybe some of the board members might know of one that I'm not aware of, but in lack of one, then he is in the $250 a day liquidated damages process. And I notified him of that last Friday and then told him that I would be calling him once a week until he got out here to finish the well. The next thing he's going to do is drop an actual pump into the well and do a 48-hour pump test. That's the next bid item. And that's, as you all know, where he establishes yield. Once he establishes safe yield, then we will be able to submit that. So let's say it was 300 gallons a minute. The state will give us 200 gallons a minute. In this case, I don't think it's going to be anywhere near that, but he's obligated under the terms of the contract to do 5 more items, all having to do with well development and setting of the permanent pump and wellhead. Those provide the basis of our calculations for the pump house that we've yet to receive drawings from CRS. But I don't know what horsepower to design those or valve sizes or anything else until I know what that well can produce. So we're leaning on Zimmer to get in here as quickly as possible. I recommend your attorney send him a letter if he's not responding. Like by Friday, if he hasn't done anything on it in my phone call, then I think it'd be good to have a letter come from Blake that just says, hey, we have a contract here in hand that says you're supposed to have been done with this well last August, and we're X many days into the liquidated damages, and I suspect if he has anything like an extension that we're unaware of, he'd provide those at that time.
So I have already drafted that letter. I submitted it to Carrie last Friday.
I have
Friday.
A copy.
So if the trustees wanted to see a copy of it, they can see a copy of it. But at that point, the liquidated damages were $119,500.
So trustees, did you copy that? $119,000 plus.
Yes, Roger. Mr. Miller, I have a couple questions.
Trustee Barron, go ahead.
Do you anticipate any other sorts of steps that could be taken in terms of developing this well that would need to be done before we drop a pump in for formal pump testing? Bit of a rhetorical question.
No, that's a good question. I followed your bid process or your contract process, and indeed, Kyle Whittison went through his. Do you have a copy of the contract, Carrie? Mm-hmm. He went through the item that he was contracted to complete, and according to Bob Zimmer, he completed that. And the next, Bob admitted that the next item on the contract is his responsibility. I'm just going to open up the bid document as we speak right here and tell you what.
They have a copy of it in the book.
Okay, good. So Kyle finished the plumbness and alignment testing according to him. And that was item 17. Bob Zimmer said that they were going to come in and start on item number 19. So that's where they bring the big pumps in. That's what I'm used to, is big pumps on this well. It might not be very big. But item 19 is where Zimmer is going to start. And according to him, they've completed through item number 18.
Okay. I suppose the sort of potential assertion behind my line of questioning is I believe that there may have been supervisory concerns or inadequacies during some of those steps, and I just want to make sure, based on the obvious criticality, and I'm glad that you mentioned it, of the district developing its own water security, i.e. a water source, that we revisit everything we possibly can to ensure that there's adequate yield out of that. I don't want to drop it. A test pump into a hole that hasn't been adequately bored, and I suppose that's a non-technical question as well. So that's an assertion more than a question. Is that a fair statement, Roy and Mr. Miller?
I think it is, and that's stuff that Mark can look at in the development of the well and the steps and probably the engineering on it. I don't know, but I don't know how much of that we have it at our fingertips?
I'm actually really happy you asked that question. We looked on the state's website to see what had been done, and we do have some information on there, but not adequate. I feel like I'd like to call Kyle Whittison and make sure he agrees with Bob that he has completed through item 18, because if Kyle says, well, actually, I didn't do as much swabbing as I had planned on, or, I didn't do everything, or I need to do some more, then that's some information that we need to know. And that's a great question or point, by the way, because I think without talking to Kyle...
Trust but verify would be my mantra under these circumstances.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and I've worked with Kyle before, so I'll be happy to give him a call and just try and verify with him that he completed his up to item 17. Because
a question or a related point is we need to make sure that our monitoring capabilities are in place at Lefty Springs. It's an important issue when we deal with the mitigation concerns moving forward there. We need to be able to monitor effectively any potential interference that's associated with pump testing.
So what Bob's talking about is we talked with Don Barnett, the hydrologist, and he had spoken with the U.S. State Division of Environmental, what do you call it, Bob?
DEQ with
the USGS.
Right.
Geological Survey.
Right.
They indicated they would come up and put monitoring devices on lefties. And that is the one stream that appears that Wolf Creek Irrigation Company is concerned about, that we may impair or we may affect their water right by installing this pump and pumping, because, of course, there's groundwater. But they're saying that if we monitor this, begin monitoring prior to pumping and doing any testing on it, then we would see if there's any effect on it. And they would help us to do that. So that's what Bob's saying. Why don't we get them on board, get all their equipment set up, all their test equipment, all their metering, and start their logs, and then we'll start doing our tests, and then we have a record going forward that we analyzed flows, and we have verification that we did not impact that stream.
That's critical. I wasn't aware of that, but boy, is that it. So it must have been a protest, and if we don't do that, then there's going to be no way to prove it in the future unless we shut it down and do it again. So
we can contact Don Barnett. He has already made arrangements for that to be done if and when we're ready.
Good. Well, we just will start monitoring it as soon as possible. That's my recommendation.
Okay. Yes.
Hey, Bob, just to clarify, or I guess this is for anyone, are you talking about lefties or are you talking about the Zell Sprint? Because we already have monitoring equipment down in lefties that was required as part of our mitigation agreement as well.
You know, I know you do. We just need to double super verify, I suppose, Mark, the adequacy of those devices and ensure that they can meet our needs as well. I realize that the developer is bound by the settlement decision that was subsequent to the state engineer's ruling, but Don Barnett is clear on how important this is to happen, and I just want to reemphasize for our engineering group that we need to get up there and take a real good look.
Okay, and Don Guerra has access to all that information, and he can share it with Mark Miller, and we can try to get equipment specifications too, just so we can determine whether additional monitoring is needed.
Right.
Yeah. And then having USGS starting their monitoring, it's a separate group of people that are providing analysis that we can use. It's separate from everybody else who's been involved in everything.
Yeah. Mark Chotel, do we have similar weirs in monitoring devices at Giselle Springs as it overflows that future well site?
We don't have anything there because that was not part of our settlement agreement. So I don't think there's any monitoring equipment at Giselle Springs.
So,
well, it might be something to consider given a contingency that might involve redeveloping Giselle Springs. We might want to get baseline weir information there.
Yeah, so Bob, we can get those same meters from Wolf Creek Water and Sewer Improvement District and put them back on before we start anything and get them going as quick as we can get to them. We can put those back on, start logging what's going on.
This is Mark again. I'm happy you've got Don Barnett involved. He's a respected expert in the state, so that'll fortify our position on anything we do. Just so the board's aware, item 18 or item 19 is well development by pumping for 60 hours at $270 an hour, step rate drawdown test 10 hours, constant rate discharge test at 24 hours. All of these are required by the state, by the way. Video logging of well after development is complete, well disinfection, and well capping. Those are the final items that Zim Industries is responsible for under the contract that you signed with them in 2017. So I'll move on to the next item if there are no other questions.
Mark, one question. Did Mr. Zimmerman give you any pushback, or did he acknowledge that he had to perform this work?
His voice was shaking. It was he was quivering, and I was as diplomatic as I possibly could be with him, but you could tell he was a bit nervous. So
All right.
I know he feels like he's under the gun. I did tell him we would move any snow that was still there, and if he gave us notification, we'd have the snow moved within a day, if it's still there when he mobilizes.
Hey, Mark, I got a question. Sorry, Mark Sotel. I had a question for you. I talked to Greg Chambers, and he indicated that it'd be difficult to move that snow with a loader because the stream down below would plug off very easy, and that's no place to put it. But he's wondering if we could use a snow blower and then blow it up on the hillside, if that would be it'd be possible. If we purchased the time that we needed off from the snow blower, what do you think?
Yeah, we could probably go down there. For that application, we probably need to use the loader mount blower. But, yeah, we could probably do that. I'll talk to Roger and see how confident he is in doing that and let you know.
Well, I'd appreciate that. It's a substantial amount of snow in that area. It seems like more than there are in other places. But if we can get rid of the snow as early as we can, let the sun start to bake that, it'll dry out their work site and get them in there a little easier and give them some room to work and stuff. So we appreciate that.
I'll
talk to Rod.
Yeah, that was a question that Zimmer asked. So it's Zimmerer. Zimmerer. So, the final item on F is Aspen Ridge. It's another subdivision that's just beneath Hidden Lake, owned by Trustee Morrell, and he submitted plans to me last week. I spoke with the county about that. It has gone through their approval process, and I wrote a letter to them last week about they're running some pipe down some property lines. I want to make sure that we have an easement on those property lines. But other than just some minor comments, they just need to get the information for the state to me so that I can submit their information to the state. One item that I'm unclear on, now Mr. Moyle was advised in a letter it was April 2018, that his project could not move forward until the source reduction was completed and the Cobabe well was completed because there is no other source for him. So keeping that in mind, I think what he's trying to do is just keep, and you can speak for yourself, but he's just trying to keep the ball rolling. And again, I don't have a problem with him, his design engineer submitting to me the information the state requires, us reviewing it and submitting it to the state, as long as it's just like the letter that was written to him. And I pointed the same things out. We need to have the Cobabe well up and running and the source reduction approved prior to his subdivision. Do you have any comments?
Comments, trustees? Mike, you got any comments?
Yeah, so prior to subdivision being, for the infrastructure being put in the ground, or prior to the final approval of the subdivision?
I have to defer to Roy on that. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's mentioned, Mike, the big concern is whether the state will approve that without that other source being there. Now, you mentioned something about at least you could move ahead with the one lot, which he actually has the will serve and everything on. That allowed him to start with his infrastructure. He's got to have plumbing to that one lot anyway, but possibly could do something to get it started at least to that point, and then he'd have to for the rest. But
so the whole thing, whether it's one lot or 11, whether it's one lateral or 11 laterals, is the exact same thing. I'm still doing
Yeah, but I think I would be remiss in not pointing a couple of things out to you. The state, when your engineer provides the model to me, he will be unable to provide a minimum of 20 PSI during peak day demand, a minimum of 30 PSI during instantaneous demand, a minimum of 40 PSI during peak day demand, minimum pressures maintained at points of connection under all flow conditions, including fire flow. And there are several items, distribution system with fire flow. You just don't have enough pressure there to meet any of those criteria. So that's something that you and your engineer will need to work out, because otherwise, when he won't be able to submit an accurate plan to me until you guys address those issues.
Then what happens to the state? Would just kick it back to us? And
oh, yeah. That, I mean,
since we're on the list, as we said.
Yeah, your engineer has to say yes, 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 yes. And if he doesn't say yes, then... But based on my review of your subdivision, you won't meet any of those criteria, nor do you have a source. So my guess is that, I mean, we submit to the state with a bunch of no's from your engineer and me checking his no's, and I don't think you meet any, probably don't meet half the requirements on here, just because it's located so close, like I mentioned to you in our first meeting that we had.
Okay, so he needs to design a additional pump station, or what does he need to do for that?
I don't design, I just check design, so
okay, got it.
Yeah. The good thing, Mike, is it's very, your engineer knows everything that's required on here, and so if he needs to call me to clarify some things, I'm more than happy to do that, because we'll do anything we can to help him keep this project rolling, but it's really incumbent on him right now to finish these or figure out how you're going to get the pressures or whatever.
Okay.
So
ultimately, I think, too, is if Mike's successful, the district's successful, I think we all want this to work out and work out the right way so that we're not having to go back and forth and back and forth again.
That's right. And Mike and I had a conversation last week along those lines. I'll help them any way they can, but right now they're just not meeting the criteria. So
they could just follow. He could follow this list.
Yes.
Should build.
Yeah.
If they do that, then everything should go fine.
Well, it's going to take some ingenuity on your engineer's part, and then it's going to take the district getting the Kobabe well up and running so you have source. Mm-hmm. Because I don't believe that you can use the other sources. At least
Hidden Lake, probably right now, because Summit's.
Yeah, that's
because they won't let you use the ERC.
You have to use a district source, is my understanding, and that's Kobabe.
Yeah.
And that letter that you got last year in April said the same thing. Yeah. So
do they allow him, just for clarification, does the state allow him to continue in his development process or his approval processes, knowing there's water coming from the well? After a certain amount of time, or is they just like, no, it has to be done? It's kind of almost like Summit there, got to have their second source at some point before the state approves their stuff, right?
Yeah, and again, I'm going to let their engineer determine that as they fill this out. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Right. Very good. Trustees, any other comments or questions? Very good. Anything else, Mr. Miller?
No.
Okay.
Can I get some clarification on the letter?
Mr. Hamilton.
Just, I'd like some clarification on the letter to Zim Industries. I mean, I have drafted that letter. If we don't have a response by Friday, do I have board approval to go ahead and send that letter out?
I'd like the other trustees to see that letter. I've seen a copy of that letter.
It should have gone out to them.
So they should have it.
Do they have copies? I just saw it.
I've reviewed it. It's okay for me to send it.
I see everybody should have it.
Other comments? Any other comments on that?
I'm good with it also.
Yeah, I'm too. I've seen it. It's good. Ready to go.
Mark or Mike, questions? Or do you?
No, I'm good with it.
I'm good with it too.
Okay, great. Blake? Tally-ho.
Okay. Well, we'll have to wait for a response from Mark Miller, right? Or
yeah,
to
so
me
I'll,
or something.
I'll wait till Friday and I'll contact you.
Okay.
We're meeting Friday anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
And just let me know if you've heard or not. And if you haven't heard, then I'll send a letter.
So, and you'll have told
right,
him.
So I'll contact him Friday morning and I'll report back to Roy on what the response is.
Okay.
Very good.
And if there's no progress, obvious progress, or a firm date, then I think the letter's probably going to be a great idea.
Okay.
It's a big matzo ball. Okay. Then we'll move on to G.
Okay. So, report on the sewer system in the last few weeks, Ron will know this because he was up there, but we and Mark also went with us. We had our sewer lagoons with the amount of outflow of of snowmelt that came off on the low-level elevations, about inundated our ponds, and we had one. The first pond actually had a plug in the overflow, and so we're myself and Jed and Evan Miller were able to take some tools and equipment up there. We had to actually purchase a pump to keep the pond from overflowing until we were able to figure out how to get it opened. But we released the plug in it and dumped the first pond, went in the second pond, and then that one started to overflow. And that was only within a few inches of going completely over and creating an environmental disaster. So we spent a lot of a long weekend up there and late nights keeping an eye on that and getting through that problem. Mark went up with us and we looked at the he analyzed the capacity in the ponds and the inflow rates, and then he gave us, if you've seen the chart in your handouts, it tells us the timeline that we have for the ponds to surcharge or to overfill if certain conditions happen. And so right now, it appears that we're fine, that the ponds are, that we're managing those are okay, and that the flow, the pond levels are adequate, and we should be good. The low-level melt has stopped, and also I noticed that the water on the mountain, remember when you and I looked, Mark, it was, what, about 20 gallons a minute or something like that?
Yeah, it was 18.9.
Yeah, so right, last time I was up there yesterday, it was only about 12.
Oh, good. We are getting some infiltration up there, and that's
That's creating a problem. And I think we have some septic tanks, not septic tanks, but what do you call it?
Leach field?
No, what do you call
sump pumps?
Sump pumps down in Sheep Creek that are probably being fed into our sewer system, and that's creating infiltration, which is creating a problem. We also found that we had. The toe drains on our ponds had overfilled with debris, and they breached some of the dikes and the ditches they put in front of them. So we were taking on about another 20 gallons a minute from just springs that were dumping into the ponds, which is creating a problem. So we got those fixed also. So we seem to be okay now, and appreciate Mark's help. We actually have a tool to help keep an eye on those, watch the flows, and manage those a little bit better than we did.
Roy, where are there sump pumps that are pumping into the system? Where are those?
The only ones that I can tell, it appears that we're getting water that doesn't appear to be sewage that's coming in on Sheep Creek. It looks more like groundwater. And so we're going to have to just go
through. So a homeowner presumably has put in a sump pump and tapped into our sewer system?
Yes. I talked to Rob Thomas also from Wolf Creek Water and Sewer, and he said that's one of his biggest problems. Is that sump pumps are creating infiltration problems, and he's going to have to try and do something to stop the problem also. By the way,
they created a fining process, actually, administratively, for homeowners that chose to do that without their permission.
Yeah, and by the way, just for the record, Rob Thomas, the manager of the Wolf Creek Water and Sewer Improvement District, came up and spent most of Friday with us when that first disaster was happening, and I appreciate his help. Jed was hurt at about that point, so it was just me and Rob, and we were the ones packing all the gear in and out, and the pumps, and setting them, and hooking up the overflow lines, and just working together on it, and he was great help.
Wow.
Really, really appreciated his efforts, and it was actually good. It created a little bonding there, and so subsequently from that, we've had some other conversations about good positive things that we can do up on the mountain with the sewer systems and things, and then Mark and Rob and I will get together and present some other good things that might be good for the whole valley. So
that's good form.
Yeah, it turned out really good. So good things came from it, but it was extremely dangerous for a few hours, and we could have had a serious environmental problem. Serious. Now, so we have about...
Roy, when I...
Yeah, go ahead.
When I talked to Rob Thomas, when they sent out that initial letter, they had, talking about the fines and things, they had 25 customers who self-reported and said that they were pumping into the system, and they got disconnected. Now he's looking for the rest of the scofflaws who are doing that.
Sounds like we need to do the same thing.
I strongly recommend you do the same thing, and it's very easy to detect when you run a camera down your line, especially these new lines after the homes go in. You can see a constant flow coming in or a pump flow, and it's clear water. It's very easy to detect who's tied in with their land drains.
And by the way, we again appreciate the four-wheel drive trucks. Four-wheeling, we had mud all over the tops of the trucks. It was hard to get them even cleaned up, but we had to go in and out of the sewer lagoon several times. Mark saw what that was like. But
yeah, he saw my truck was clean, and so we used it.
Yeah, we trashed his truck too. But we were, even with the four-wheel drives, the ruts were getting so bad. We were high-centering with the four-wheel drives, trying to get equipment in and out, and we were in and out several times during those storms. So it was a lifesaver. They paved themselves. That I don't know what the cost would be if you overtop those ponds and flush that into the drinking or into the water sewer systems. It would probably have been catastrophic, but they probably paid for themselves many times over. So, but I do appreciate I do appreciate Wolf Creek Water and Sewer Improvement District's help. It was
absolutely
critical at that time.
Okay. One thing I noticed, Roy, one thing that I did notice is if you go up to Snow Basin and look at their three ponds, they're ready to top, and they've got snow making machines hooked up, and they're pumping water from out of the ponds into the snow making machines and blowing it into the air and going down into Morgan County. So just FYI.
So can we do that?
I'm Morgan County's engineer. I'm glad you told me that.
It's unbelievable. Snow making machines up there just running full time.
Out of sewage water, huh? Nice.
Yeah, they've got three. We've got three ponds up there. You can see them from the road as you come down, and they're just right at the top, all three of them.
Wow. I think one of the next steps for us on these ponds, we may need to figure out something for an emergency overflow, some type of containment in case they were to top. That's probably a problem. The other thing is, talking with Mark, we think that there's probably grants out there, and we probably should be working on our next biggest project should be the sewer system and a total review, master plan of the sewer system, treatment, everything else, and probably go after the grants there's several million dollars out there that could be acquired through a grant that would help us to cover those costs. So, and Mark says you're familiar with those, so you can help.
Great. Okay. Well, moving right along.
Okay. And then on the water system, a water source protection plan on the Bloomington well, I think we brought that up because that is the document that we were talking about, that it was actually provided to us from Laughlin on the wellhead protection, is really what that is.
Yeah, and the only thing we talked about that earlier, the only thing I could imagine in that is there will be some restrictions on where you could put septic and some, you know, where you can do certain things. There would be restrictions that would apply more to Summit than anyone else or any other developers right near that area. And as you know, they have four different zones. They're very restrictive in zone one. Zone two has some restrictions, but three and four they're pretty loose. So I don't expect I'm going to find anything alarming in the source protection plan.
A couple more things on the water.
Is parking in the vicinity of the wellheads an issue?
Yeah, under that document, that's the very first thing they talk about, is that the parking lot is one of the biggest issues that they recognize with the wellhead.
And the challenge with that is obviously going to be, you have to direct water away from the wellheads because that's in zone one. So, again, those are things that Summit's... you have a copy? Does Summit have a copy of that? I think it's critical that someone get their hands on it because I don't foresee any challenges with us on that, but it's that there are going to be requirements that are required of Summit. So again, I've yet to look at it, but I'll take care of it the first of this week or the end of this week, I should say.
Terrific. Trustees, any other questions on with regards to that? Go ahead.
No.
Very good. All right. Roy, moving along, if you would,
so
please.
I just wanted to comment a couple more items on the water system. We had a problem with sundown lodge, and we had the their water valve gave us some problems in the middle of the night. Also, we worked through that and we were able to get up, and again we had to dig down, move about a ton of snow, 4 feet deep, to get to the valve. So one of the things I'm going to ask Mark is if he'll help us get all of our valves GPS'd. Should never have to hunt to them. Hunt for those with a hydro unit and a shovel. That's terrible. Old school. So, but we were able to get that fixed, at least get it contained and shut down before it flooded the building, and then and get it isolated. And then we've got a plumber going up who will do the repair on it for us. It, by the way, it's on the valve that goes to the meter that's in the building. So that's still a problem. So anyway, we got that fixed, and then today we had also had a major leak on top of the mountain. It ended up being over in Powder West, just below Mike's house, right next to that cement structure that's there. But the leak started in the middle of the night. We didn't get a notice on, or warning on our SCADA until this morning, because it doesn't warn us until it gets down to 8 feet, 9 feet. So as soon as that hit, then it warned us. But by then, we'd lost almost 200,000 gallons out of the tank. So it did some damage along the edge of the road, just next to Timberline Lodge. It washed along the edge of the road, so I had been up there since this morning shoveling holes 6 feet deep in the snow trying to find the leak. I mean, don't think that isn't bizarre, trying to along the mountainside. Well, anyway, we finally got the hydro unit up there. And we started digging, just basically following the water coming down the mountain, following that all up through the snow. We moved the snow 6 feet deep of that big hydro unit, chased it up until we found it coming right straight out of the ground, right behind that cement structure. I guess it's an old water line that was abandoned or something. At least that's as much as I saw when I left. But I'm telling you, finding a leak in the mountain under 6 feet of snow is absolutely bizarre. And so there's a blizzard up there, snow sideways. It's nuts. So anyway, needless to say, we appreciate Evan came up again, helped us, Jed, and then we Mark Chotel sent some of his guys over. We were able to get the hydro unit up on the mountainside, and we started excavating and just chasing it, and we finally found out where I was at, and then we were able to isolate it, get it shut down. The tank's filling back up now and should be fine. Powder West is out of water right now until they get that fixed.
Thanks for helping Mark, and thanks so much, Roy, going in there. And I can't imagine those Alaska-like conditions.
It's pretty crazy. My shoes are still squashed. I'm still sloshed around. I had boots on, but they were so full of snow. And I had my dress pants on, and all the cuffs were packed full of snow. So anyway, my socks are still wet. Time to put my dress shoes back on. They're still sloshing, but... Yeah, it's pretty miserable, but the conditions are it's treacherous, I'm telling you. And of course, these guys work on the mountain all the time, the ski resort, know what that's like. But what my fear is, again, if we break a water line out in the middle of the ski run, it's difficult to go chase that, because water's running underneath the snowpack, top somewhere on that mountainside, and you don't know where the leak's at. Yeah. You just keep digging until you find it, which means we'd open up that whole ski run until we found it. So we've got to do something different, and whatever that is, I don't know. But yeah, anyway, it's pretty crazy.
Okay.
And then Mark Miller also had indicated that we probably ought to put automation on our pressure regulators, so we have SCADA on those in case one of those were to fail.
Yeah, that's one of the things I requested of Ryan Cathy. It's a low cost item to just stub some conduit. He's going to stub four conduit into the PRVs, so that in the future, as we do SCADA and potentially even actuated valves, we can. If you have a PRV fail, then obviously you could have some disastrous blowouts. Mm-hmm. And if it does fail, you need to know immediately, and without SCADA, you won't know that. So for the time being, I just requested Ryan Cathy to install some. As part of the construction, to install some conduits into there so that we can pull the wires through once we're ready to do that.
And we're also, I'm supposed to meet next week with our guys at Delco Western, who have been working on our SCADA, to look at the sewer systems, get everything on SCADA that we can, and we'll look at these at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Wow. Okay.
I've already talked about the sewer lagoons, and this part is where Mark had appreciated his help. I was actually working up on the mountain when he had our meeting with on the Bloomington Well pump house, and so I got in the last few minutes, but he had conducted a meeting and handled very well, and so maybe we can talk about where we're at on the pump house, Bloomington Well pump house and design and other requests from Summit to price reduction, which we think.
Yeah, so Don was in the meeting. He participated via telecon, and the design engineer, Eric, was there along with Rick and myself and the two individuals representing Nelson Brothers Construction. We talked about potential cost-saving measures, and ironically, the first thing they brought up was that there was a bust on the plans and it was going to cost an extra $50,000 or so for dirt work and over and above what they had bid. We came up with a potential way to save, I guess, would you say $200,000 to $250,000?
Yeah.
I just suggested that they move the location of the well house up onto the edge of the parking lot because most of the cost we were talking about, and most of the
Mark's just hearing us right now.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's Summit's decision they get to make. It's the only thing that the engineers in the room could come up with, and when I asked the contractor how much money that would save, it was not only that $50,000 change order, but it was another approximately $200,000. And so much of the project was related to that dirt work. It was costing them, believe it or not, $40 a ton to haul material up to the site. They had four contractors bid the import fill material, and only one responded, and it was $40 a ton. And so you were paying contractually about $50,000 for soil, but once the bus that was on the design plans was discovered, then that was an additional $45,000. And that's just material. That's not moving the material around. So it appeared that that was the only way that we could save money on that project. And so we talked about that in there. I know that maybe I jumped the gun on stating that, Don. I don't know.
No, it's just that Mark's on vacation.
Okay,
so I
Mark.
I talked to one of his guys about it today.
Okay, and Mark, the issue was the contractor emphasized the reason the cost was so high was because of where it was located, whereas if we did put it up there just right on the, basically north of the tank, you're still not on Weber State property, just north of the tank in the flat area there, then it would save... sounded like a couple hundred grand, right?
250 is what Rick was asking.
Yeah, $250,000, and other than that, we couldn't come up with any cost. Well, we talked back and forth about $1,000, $3,000, $5,000 here and there, but then that was the only real major cost savings we could come up with, and so that obviously will be up to you guys, Mark and Don, as far as whether you guys decide to do that or not. So,
and we're getting a site, Mark, we're getting a site plan done that I'm going to put in front of you and Roger so you can see where we're talking about. I haven't seen that yet, but Rick's doing it.
There was plenty of room just north of the tank that's still on the Summit property and not into the Weber State property.
So I heard Mark say okay.
Oh, okay.
It, so.
Okay. Anyway, sorry for the surprise, but that was the two individuals, I believe they were maybe an owner and an estimator in the meeting, very sharp, seemed to be very thorough on their bid. Good responsive bidder. Yeah.
Any other questions on that, trustees? Roy, let's have you get the waterworks in. Is that where we are?
Yeah, so, a couple of things. So there's been some concerns always about the IT expenses. So in relationship to that, some meetings I attended, plus I know a documentation has come around to me from American Water Works. There's a requirement for water systems, water and sewer systems, and possibly other public entities to have a vulnerability assessment done. I think you probably heard those, Mark, haven't you? It's required in order to make sure that we're not compromising somebody, that somebody can't hack into the system and turn off pumps, you know, dump sewage where it shouldn't be. That happens, believe it or not, around the United States. People do hack into systems and they do dump raw sewage and they do shut down water systems and stuff like that. So, and when you do get hacked, huh, Carrie?
Oh, yeah.
You know, we've had it happen here. And so one of the things that we need to do in a cost-cutting measure is we'll take a look at other IT services, but presently we do have an IT person on board doing a great job, and he has saved our bacon a bunch of times when we were being, system was being hacked. So we'll go ahead and get the vulnerability assessment done. I believe the Homeland Defense will come do that for free for us anyway. And then we'll decide what their recommendations are as far as IT services and what we do with the SCADA system and the pumps and also all of our internal information and everything to make sure it's protected long term. So it's a critical part, something that's required by us as an entity to make sure everything's locked up and safe.
Very good. Any other comments or questions regarding that? Trustees, we are okay. Anything else for you, Roy, on your manager's report?
Ben? No.
You know, vulnerability is a big thing, and there are districts and organizations that are being hit by bad folks all the time. It's becoming more and more prevalent.
One of the things they point out, Mr. Chairman, is laptops, phones, all kinds of things that are connected to systems, that all you have to do is take one email that has embedded in it the right computer code language, and you've exposed them, that's in there, it's actually in your system and is taking robbing the information and sending that out to bad people. So simple, easy to do. You can think that somebody just sending you an email like Amazon or something, and you open that up and you compromise your entire system. So passwords, who's carrying equipment around with them, what they're doing with it, employees and all that stuff in your SCADA has to be protected properly and have the right passwords. So anyway, Homeland Defense will help us on that, so we'll make sure we get that done.
Please, yes, thank you. Let's move on. Is there anything else by any of you, Mr. Miller? You're going to take your exit then?
Yeah, I think so, and then you guys could proceed with the rest of the meeting as well as your closed session without me in here.
You've done nice, sir. You've done a nice job for us.
Thank you, Mr. Miller.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, all. See you later.
Thank you.
Hey, Mark.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate your help.
Okay, let's continue on with our business items. Discussion and or action or recommendation for settlement. On standby fees, Bobcat to overlook and proceed with the current capacity assessment letter 66. It's kind of like a little Christmas gift, isn't it? Roy, I'm going to turn that over to you really quick.
Okay.
Item number 13.
So we've met off and on with the attorney and with Don and Carrie and I, and actually, Mary Jim, if you've been involved in any part of that.
A little bit, not much, a little bit.
So we've tried to come to some resolution on the standby fees that are out there. We realize that the processes that the district had maybe started to create some problems, but needless to say, it creates a rub, and we're trying to get through that and decide where we would be as far as settling this. These are standby fees that were created as because of a feasibility letter on the second phase. And so the conclusion that we came to was we met with Blake and Don, Terry and I, was that we felt that Summit owes us. I don't know, they feel that way. I think you've had a different opinion about it, but so we thought that that the 66, at least on our part, that the 66 ERCs that we were billing for was probably a fair compromise on it.
66 is the number that's in the will serve letters.
Yeah. We did find, as we look back, that we did have will serve letters for another 62 or something.
63.
Something like that. But the 66 is roughly what you guys have requested, what you really were looking for.
Well, and then I think a reconciliation so that we're all on the same page of exactly what's been issued.
Yeah.
And
will you speak up, Mr. Guerrero, so I can hear you on the one?
Just a reconciliation of all the will serves that have been issued that we all agree still stand. Because there were a couple, I mean, there was one for 313 that we don't think is has merit, one for 62 that potentially did, but just, mm-hmm. you know, going through and making sure that it's documented.
What, kind of a house cleaning process. And I'll probably have Blake speak to a lot of what we talked about. Also, the district in doing this is giving up probably about $70,000+, at least in charges and what we thought we had is standby fees based on the feasibility letter and all that. So anyway, again, we feel like this is probably somewhere, felt like it was a compromise that we'd clean up the books, clean up whatever happened in the past, start fresh from here on out, and possibly improve our developmental process so that going forward that we have a good process as we start to assess standby fees. Anyway, Blake.
Right. So I've drafted, and you should have received a copy of the settlement and release of claims agreement. And one of the things that you know, I think Don pointed out just a minute ago, and Roy was speaking about, that I think is of some value is cleaning up this process, because there were a lot of letters that were issued, a lot of letters issued for we don't know why, what the reason was. So getting a clear understanding moving forward of what the obligations are, I think is something that is of value for the district. So you'll see in the recitals, they're pretty extensive, and Carrie did a fantastic job pulling the documents together to be able to kind of lay out the history of what happened here. And as we met with Don, I think we were able to go through that, and I think kind of getting that all out there and then moving forward with a clear direction of what is expected of each party is important. So you'll see that I tried to accomplish that in the agreement itself. There is the compromise of basically going to the 66 connections, which is what we've agreed moving forward anyway, as being what was the responsibility of Summit to pay for the standby fees from the day of the very first issuance of an invoice or a bill to them. That calculation needs to be done and inputted here, but we figured it out to be approximately $65,000, I think was what we calculated it out. So
that's what we're writing off, that's what it comes to.
$68,603.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, and we'll plug that number in, but I think that accomplishes what we want to have accomplished, which is let's clean up all this convoluted history of will serve letters, capacity letters, have a clear understanding moving forward, and get everyone on the same page.
Great. Chair calls on Trustee Barrett for comment. Bob? Did we lose you?
I fully support the action that we're taking now. And I think the summary letter that Blake's prepared with Carrie's assistance adequately sort of defines the landscape that led to this decision-making at this point. Moving forward quickly would be my major emphasis on a development process that prevents this from happening in the future is of paramount importance. And including in my mind, putting teeth in the development process for failure to pay fees in a timely fashion, including possibly revoking source capacity letters or will serve letters for failure to pay fees. And I'm in favor of taking these steps.
Trustees, any other comments? Trustee Wilson, any comments?
Yeah, I have a few comments. I support what we're talking about, but we're writing off on the order of $68,000, and looking back over the previous records, we've written off about $70,000 in the past for Summit at different times. And that's a rough order of magnitude. So if we're going to settle for $68,000, I think there should be some terms and perhaps some quid pro quos that Don Guerra doesn't have to go back to his board and talk about, but at the same time, it provides us some beneficial use. And one of the things is terms of payment. The other thing I'd like to know, did we ever get that 30 connections document signed?
We have that agreement.
Sewer connections?
That's right. We have it here.
Did it get resolved?
Nope. That's
resolved, but the agreement isn't signed
yet. Yeah.
Yeah, the agreement is signed.
They're saying it's resolved, but the agreement hasn't been signed, Trustee Wilson. So you're going
okay.
To keep going. You're good. So what are
okay,
your thoughts
like,
on that?
I'd like to see that signed. And as in the order of a quid pro quo, you know, Summit is supposed to provide us a municipal service area. I would like to see that municipal service area identified and designated so we can park our equipment and consolidate our equipment on the mountain where the work needs to be done, as opposed to keeping it at one of our employees' house and having it scattered over most of the Ogden Valley. So those are the provisos, and I don't think that would be a major impact on Don, because he does have to provide a municipal service area for not only us, but I think for the county's equipment also at some point. And if we could get that identified and the document signed, and we could come up with some reasonable terms as to when the money's going to be paid, I'm all in.
So just to restate, you're saying the 30 connection document signed, the far as payment terms, when that we can expect to have payment in full, and then a municipal services area. Did I miss something there?
No, that's exactly how I feel about it. Now, I don't think this would cause Don or Mark Schrotel any problems of having to go back to their board, because ultimately they're going to have to do all this regardless. So I think we'd be in good shape there.
So Ron, can I address a couple of those points? This is Blake.
Indeed, you may. I mean, I'm just that's just how I feel. So, you can help clarify.
So on page 3 of the settlement and release of claims agreement, under paragraph 1, it does have the term of when the payment should be made, no later than May 2019. We're going to put that date in. We wanted to do it 2 weeks after the agreement was signed, so that payment came in within 2 weeks, because that has been a concern that the district has had in the past, is getting the payment. So we wanted to make sure that was there. There you'll see provision B under 1, talking about the settlement proceeds is sufficient and valuable consideration. But it also talks about the fact that Summit recognizes its responsibility on the 66 connections. And then if you look at C, Summit agrees to pay the standby fees for the 66 connections moving forward and to be subject to the district's policies regarding the payment of fees. So we tried to put those terms
right
in the agreement. With respect to... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm good with that. That's exactly what I was looking for. I just wanted to... state that, yeah.
And then with respect to the agreement on the 30 sewer connections, I had that. Again, I got the red lines from Don during that meeting that we had with him, and I've cleaned it up, accepted most of the changes. You'll see, it's in the form. I was told to provide it in the form that I would be comfortable with the district signing. That has been sent to Kerry and Roy, so it's ready to be signed as far as the district's concerned.
Yeah, virtually it's about the same thing as Anna submitted anyway, isn't it?
The only other thing on this is if the payment doesn't happen, the consequence is there's a reduced source reduction or a source reduction taken. We want the money in. I mean, if we're going to do this, by gosh, they better pay. And if they don't pay on time, then we start taking away. That's just really pretty simple.
Can I address a couple of
Yeah. Wait a second. Trustees, are there? Well, I'd like any more comments first.
I'm not hearing any comments, and so Don, I'll give you the floor here for a minute.
I mean, Ron, addressing the concerns, I mean, hopefully you recognize that you don't need to make this agreement contingent on the, at least the payment. Obviously, it's in here. That's a good thing. And I think since I've been sitting across from you, when we've made comments about paying, we've paid. I know that our history hasn't been that way, but as long as Mark and I have been involved, we've been doing that. I was going to try and come with the check today, and it probably makes sense to get this first and review it and execute it, but our intent is to pay that this week if at all possible. The other two items, I mean, it doesn't look like they're party to this agreement, but I mean, even if this wasn't on the table, we've already been talking to you about that agreement. We've sent the draft back. I think that's a done deal. And relative to the municipal area, I mean, of course, and probably is part of our agreement somewhere, I'm sure. But even if it wasn't, because of where we're going with this relationship, of course we'll work with you. And that'll be Mark Schotel. You know, I mean, I'll have to sit down with him about where our municipal services area is going to be. We need to have the same conversation. We've had the same conversation with the fire department as well. So, you know, Ron, hopefully you realize that you don't need to have a hammer to come to us and talk to us about those issues. And then in the payment, you know, we are not flush with money. We're not even close to it. And now that the resort has shut down, it's only going to get worse for the next 9 months. But this is our obligation. I've been very clear. I don't have to reiterate how I feel about those fees. I'm sitting in a room where everyone else, other than maybe Mark on the phone, doesn't feel that way. I don't want to rehash that. I very much appreciate this. I think it's a great gesture of meeting halfway on something that's been convoluted for the longest time. So for that, I say thank you. But hopefully, Ron, you realize that you don't need to have a hammer to ask us to be good partners that I think we've been trying to be for the last year or so.
You know, I'm going to jump in here, Don. Hold on there, Ron, just a second, because I would like you to talk. But I want you to know that as Summit continues to do what they say they're going to do, when they say they're going to do it, it just continues to build additional trust. And that, and you guys are, you're moving, you've moved the needle. You've moved it, in my mind and perception, you've moved the needle considerably, especially, and I'm going to give a lot of credit to Mark. I continue giving a lot of credit to Mark. He's been absolutely fantastic. Trustee Wilson.
Yeah, my only concern is I've only been on the board for 4 months, but everything with this board moves at glacial speed. I mean to tell you, we've been futzing around with the source reduction since December, and hopefully we'll get something submitted. We've been futzing around with, and futzing is probably not a very precise term, but I think you know what I mean. We've been messing around with this 30 connections for 3 months, the best I know, and we just have it, hopefully we'll get it resolved today. And I'm just trying to ensure that we're good custodians of the district's resources and we're representing all the district members well. And that's my main concern. And that's why I talked about the things that I talked about.
Yeah, great. Any other comments? Carrie Zanger would actually, she's got a little something here.
Okay. When we met, we discussed these 30 connections. You handed me Ann's revisions again on this 30 connection, and I'm going to point out, because this has to be resolved right now, we talked about in December relinquishing all of these fees that we had here. We agreed upon the 77, you were going to pay that. It still did not, and we have talked about this, I know it's talked about, but it still has not been settled on the payment of those fees, right?
Well, for the 30.
For the 30. Now, her revision still states you want to pay them. And I know what we've discussed, but it's got to either come in or go out, one or the other.
Yeah.
I mean, so I know you don't want to pay them.
Yeah, the direction was that we relinquish any rights.
You relinquished them, right.
And that the books are wiped clean relative.
That's what you asked for, but it hasn't been passed yet. So my question is, because as her revision that she gave us, that you gave us at that meeting still states, and he put it in the agreement per Ann's in here, it still states you will pay these fees.
Well, keep in mind that I got that when we were sitting.
I know.
Forwarded without opening it.
Right, and so, that was still 3 weeks ago. So I'm asking you. according to what she sent us, and according to it not being passed, that we that you, those are not paid, or are they paid one way or the other? If he signs this as is right now, no, he's to pay the fees. Yeah. My point. Well, I'm going. We're
well,
going off of first. No, I'm talking the about the 30 connections. Yeah. There's a whole the agreement that Ann sent us.
Yeah.
Still states you owe.
Ann made a mistake.
Okay, well, it's what I'm trying to read. We've got to get that figured out so you can get it signed, or we're going to go another 3 months, and then they're still going. So I need to. We need to know, and well, there has to be a board approved.
I will go through that agreement. I'm not going to rely on Ann to do it. Ann's out on vacation until tomorrow anyway. So I'll go through it, and, I mean, if you know the section that needs to change, I can call you and talk through it. But
it's,
I'll,
it's page one.
Page one right there, yeah.
And it says payment of outstanding fees. So,
and it still needs to be basically, or
yeah.
Is there accepted hers? But are we going to? Is that part of what we're going to write off or not? Is my question.
Yeah. So it actually, what sorry, Carrie's saying is it probably needs. We need board direction on what we are going to do. So I don't know which direction you're going to head, Don, but there were still for outstanding fees that needed to be paid, and they've been accumulating. But clear up until whenever that it says, whenever in the agreement it said that when that until that contract was signed, that they would end.
No, in the agreement it says that we, as long as we're paying that fee, we have those rights. And when we stop paying those fees, we relinquish those rights. Those standby fees went away. So the minute we stop paying that, you had the right to do whatever you wanted with those 30 connections. I communicated that to Ann. Obviously, I didn't do a good job. Her draft came back. I think we all know what the draft.
This is why I'm stating
and
that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And obviously, I'm frustrated with Ann. I think it was something that she had rushed through the first time, and it was on her plate. She rushed through the second time to get it in time for that meeting. And obviously, one, I should have just not given it to you until I reviewed it. Two, I think it was pretty clear what we wanted in that agreement. So that is what the revised agreement is going to state.
And then
so,
it just has to be approved by the
so
board.
Yeah, so we need the board's opinion on that. Because
right now, I mean, you're talking almost $20,000.
Another
so they stopped,
$20,000.
Yeah, they stopped paying for it July of last year, and this is where we're at. And that's what it equals out to be.
At some point along the way, you stopped invoicing it, I believe.
Mm. Because we had this meeting this when you came in December and you handed us the totals of what you were asking for. That's when we had discussed it. They passed this dollar amount, but it did not include that. Remember that?
So. The other, I mean, just to be clear, the other fee that was in question was the $35,000 that we paid for CRS.
Right, right.
So,
and that was included in that.
So let me just...
We have paid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember that. Mm-hmm. So Trustee Barrett, Trustee Wilson, I'll look to you for more comment with regards to the 30 connections. It's are we going to wipe that clean, or are we going to, where are we on that?
I'll support wiping it clean.
I mean, how long could it take to actually revise an agreement so that it's consistent with what was discussed?
Okay. So, Bob, what do you think?
I think it's unfortunate that we've come to this juncture and the agreement on the 30 connections is not consistent with what was agreed with and what we had hoped to move forward with. Now, whether that presupposes that we can't move forward with the agreement or not, I don't know. Blake, what should we do? We don't actually have an agreement that's in black letters that's consistent with what our stated intents are.
Hold on. Well, the agreement isn't signed, I mean, at this point in time. So if you give me the direction that you want, that you're okay having those connection fees wiped out, I can change that paragraph. That paragraph, I don't know. I can't tell you why it's taking so long. I mean, I feel like I turned it around pretty quickly on my side.
Yeah.
$20,000.
But I can I can take the labor.
I got the Word document.
It's not difficult. Gary's got the Word document. Okay. We can go in there right now and take that out. If that's what you choose, if that's what you want.
I'm glad this is being brought up and discussed. I respect the fact, too, Trustee Moyal, Trustee Scrotel, that you're being, you're recusing yourself from. I haven't called on you. There hadn't been any raise of hands or of anybody coming out. Bob, Ron, you two are up there. I'm going to put a little more pressure on you two to. I'm going to ask one of the two of you to make a motion. See where we get to.
I want the actual documents revised to reflect the agreement that was entertained, and if that means delaying moving forward on this process, so be it. The chairman can always review the documents to ensure that they're compliant with our intent and poll the board subsequent to this meeting and pass the resolution.
So it'll just take us a couple of minutes to do those tonight and get it over with. That's what we're saying, rather than dragging it on. Everybody knows, again, if that's the board's intent. And okay. Carrie has the Word document, Blake can review it, and the chairman will look at it. Don probably sign it and be over with.
So, Trustee Wilson?
Let's do it that way.
Okay. Trustee Wilson?
Yes, sir.
Would you like to make a motion to that effect, or how do you feel about that?
Well, I would make the motion that the document be revised and resolved this evening, just like Bob stated.
Bob, would you like to second that motion?
Yeah, I'd like to add to it. And if based on the chairman's review and the district manager's review, the revised document is consistent with what we're discussing right now, that we move forward with the accepting the proposal.
Okay, so that's a substitute motion. That's a recommendation for a substitute motion. In as much as the first motion was not seconded, but that was added to, Ron, I'll ask you if you would second that.
Yes, I will second it.
Great. I have a motion and a second. Carrie, Roy, are you clear with what that is?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Blake, does that sound good?
Sure. I mean, I can do it right now.
No. let me get this parliamentary stuff out of the way. So with that, I'll call for the vote. All in favor? Aye. Hello?
Aye. Aye. Aye.
So let that be known that Trustee Moyal... Trustee Scrotel abstained from voting, and that would be appropriate. Blake, thank you, and we'll move on with that. We're going to move on to item number 14, discussion and or action on grievance board, two trustees.
Carrie has been to some training. I'm going to ask if she would talk about the importance of this. It's in order to help facilitate employee grievances in case they come along. You have to have a group, two people to do that.
Oh, good. This is good. This is what this is for.
It was a very educational day. Back in May of last year, when we went to the USAD training, they stated there was a law that was passed that each entity has to have a human resources manager. Well, guess who it is? So I attended the training.
Well, now, wait a second. We pay for human resources services with the county.
Well, do you want me to hire him?
I'm sorry. I'll shut up and listen to you.
It's okay. So I took the training that was required by law. I took the training, learned a lot, and come to find out when it comes to the law portion of it, just a small portion of what I learned, the law portion of it, when they had discussed... at will and grievances and all this other stuff, part of our policies and procedures in our handbook, which I now have to do a handbook. But part of our policies and procedures, or part of our at will hiring, all that fun stuff, is we need to have a two-member board or two member, whoever we elect, as a grievance board. In other words, but where we are such a small district, there's two of us, so if somebody is upset, they automatically will come to me, talk to me. Unless it's about me, then they go to Roy. Now, in the last case that we had with our last employee, because it was with both of us, you all got a phone call. Well, technically, by law, you should have answered that phone and taken care of it. So, that being said, we need to have a two-people board that we approve, that we appoint. So, if for some reason we have an employee that's upset with both me and Roy, they have to have somebody to go to, which is the Board of Trustees.
What if you're upset with you and Roy?
I go to one of you guys. Which that
I mean,
doesn't.
I'm serious.
Yeah, that's why we need a board.
Hairs here now. But
that's why
how
we
it
need.
Is.
That's why we have to have two people. So in other words, there's a process that has to be taken, and we will put this. We are going to revise the policies and procedures once again, to include this, included in the handbook with two people, that need to go as far as the board, if, you know, for grievances and the processes that Roy and I have to take for the hiring and the firing now. Basically, so you are unbiased. And then the board, whenever, whoever that person comes to out of the two, they come to me and Roy, we take care of the situation. Okay, somebody's upset. This is what's going on. You tell me what's going on, and then you handle it, is basically what we need.
Okay, thank you, Carrie. Trustees, are there volunteers to serve on our Human Resource or Grievance Board? I have a hand. I see a hand from Trustee Moyal. Those of you on the phone, I can't see your hands. Is there another, is there someone else who volunteers?
Sure, I'll volunteer.
And that is Trustee Wilson?
Wilson.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are there any objections with that to serve on that board? From you, Trustee Scrotell, or from you, Trustee Barron?
No objection.
Great. That's not an action item. It's so that's it. Thank you both, Mr. Wilson, Mr. Moyal, for serving on that. That's fantastic. Appreciate that. I'm going to move right along. And Carrie, let's go to the treasurer's report, please.
Oh, let me find it here. All right. You guys all have in your packet, of course, the obvious. You've got the PTIF account. There's 101 in there. Oh. You'll notice the profit and loss, that's pretty much up to date. If you want to take a look at any of those totals or dollar amounts and ask me, we can go over that. Now here's your bank balances. We have in Zions, we have 23 in the general account, there's 23. There's 47 in the impact, and there's 414.3 in the bond, which they haven't paid, the checks haven't cleared in that. There will be about 7,000 left in there after that one is done. And this was as of Friday's deposit.
Of course, we'll have another 60-something thousand here in a couple of weeks.
And we also have six liens that went on. But the good news is, I found out yesterday, we have, according to those liens, I have always referred to my problem children. Two of them will be resolved by the end of the month. One of them will be going to...
Collection?
Nope. One of them will be going before I took all the information up to John Bond. I was on the phone with them today. Will be a sale.
Tax
sale. And the second one that was should have been next year, it's been 4 years, I received a phone call the other day. They are foreclosing on the lot, and I will have a check by the end of the month. So that helps.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Comments, trustees?
Yeah, this is Ron Wilson again. Yeah. The reason I was so strident about everything moving at a glacial speed is because we are that we owe to the tune of about $40,000 right now. I mean, we're going to pay them, obviously. We've got $23,000, but we're keeping, we're continuing to write things off, and it's imperative that we start collecting the money that is owed to us. Or we're not going to make our bills or our payroll. So enough said, I think.
Well, that's with me, quite evident. Quite evident. Ron, you've done a great job, too, getting in and digging into these finances on things that have should have been done a long time ago, but I really appreciate that we're now going to have a clean slate and be able to really aggressively move forward with these collections. We shouldn't have any AR like this. And Kerry, you've done a good job getting over there with the treasurer's office and John Bond and getting these things taken care of. That's just the right thing to do. That's just the we're not of savings and loan.
I might mention too, so we'll work with Mark Miller. We're already working on our developmental process and collection of the fees and all that stuff. We'll have that taken care of by next month, and then also we'll have our attorney looking at all of that and making sure that from here on out that the processes and steps we take, that they have plenty of that they're right, that they have plenty of teeth in them for the collection of the money. And I think, again, you know, Don, to what you have said about making sure that we have a good process and that everybody understands that going forward, or somebody like Mike, I think all of that is good business. It's critical in order to make sure that everybody understands for what we're doing on the same page. But the end result of all that is that the district at that point will know where it should be, and again, if they have money that's not collected or is not being paid, then they'll aggressively go after it and know that they're on solid ground to do that. So, and there won't be negotiating beyond that. It'll
no.
just be here's
no.
the rules, and they either pay it or don't. And
we've
but
said that
hopefully
in
that
other
point
meetings.
We'll think our process will be solid enough in everything we're doing that we're very confident in it.
Good. Yeah, so that just, I want to let that just lie there. So, trustees, any comments there? Okay, Kerry, anything else on your report?
Nope, we're good.
Way to go, getting that stuff done. No, that's great. And Ron, I know you work with her on that. And Roy, thank you very much.
You should have Kerry does.
I request a motion to adjourn the public meeting for a closed strategy session to discuss acquisition of real property, including any form of water rights and any pending or reasonable imminent litigation. Motion, looking for a motion?
Oh, motion to adjourn the public meeting.
Thank you, and convene a closed strategy
session.
Got a motion, is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mark. Great, all in favor?